Another day, another pile of regulations, Regulation Nation. And look, regulation without representation is worse than taxation without representation because, in effect, they get both. The government, when they go out, they pass these regulations and they send the bill to you, hidden in, like, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act or somewhere they buried in there on page 3,421. And we get stuck with the bill anyway. Phil Kirpin is the president of American Commitment. He joins me now. Phil, good to see you today.
Hey, my pleasure. Good to be with you.
So the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, has been wanting to do a few things, and none of them good. The Fairness Doctrine, which I fear to this day because they're going to resurrect that monster at some point, which will try to silence me on radio and television and cable and streaming. But in the meantime, they're going to set their sights on the Internet and tighten the screws there, aren't they? What's going on? There was a vote yesterday. It's important. Please tell the folks.
Yeah, yesterday they had a 3-2 party line vote at the FCC to officially re-regulate Internet service providers. So the phone and cable companies or the wireless companies, they were deregulated. The service was deregulated under President Trump when Ajit Pai was chair of the FCC. You probably remember they said that the Internet would end, things would load one word at a time. There were literally going to be mass death because the broken Internet, people can't get suicide prevention resources, they're all going to die. I mean, these headlines were everywhere. None of that happened.
None of those things happened. Hold on, Phil. Not one of those things happened, did they?
Yeah. It was a hoax. Zero of the negative consequences they predicted happened. Zero. And not only that, Steve, but we had very positive consequences that did happen. In particular, prices dropped pretty dramatically, especially on the wireless side. But prices dropped pretty dramatically for both wireless and wireline broadband. The speeds went up dramatically. So we had prices come down by about 25%, and we had speeds go up by about 800%. That's what happened on wireless. And we had the same thing on the wired side, although not quite as dramatic. And so you had this policy where deregulating had zero of the predicted negative consequence. Instead, it had exactly what you want to happen when you deregulate something.
It so hold on. So I'm confused, Phil, and I'm not very bright, so I want you to work with me slowly today. Be gentle. If prices come down by a quarter, 25%, you're saving 25% on the dollar. Your speed goes up eight times over, because I can tell you right now, my Internet service today is far better than it was 5 years ago. I mean, it's night and day. You can get 100 up and 100 down for $100. I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, it really is. I mean, and when you do television like we're doing right now, or live streaming like we're doing right now, you've got to have about 25 up to be really solid. You get to 100, it's golden. It's perfect. And everybody can do this now because you have so many podcasts and different things going on. So for us, in the FCC world, they should think, man, that's great. Why would you mess with that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The price drop was so big that when Janet Yellen was Fed chair, she thought there was a problem with the data when those prices came in, because the price drop was so large that it actually affected the overall price level in the economy. So it actually reduced inflation economy-wide because of how big the price decline was in that one sector. Any normal person who's in charge of this area, who's the regulator, the bureaucrat in charge, would look at the success of deregulation and say, huh, I was wrong when I predicted bad things would happen. This was a good policy that worked. Let's not mess with it. And in fact, the FCC knows all this data. Their own report has all this data in it. They've got the price chart showing the price coming down. So they know this, but they are so ideologically committed to government regulation and government control over everything that they're not going to be persuaded by really overwhelming obvious facts. And that's why we had this 3-2 party line vote yesterday. And now we'll see. You know, I'm not optimistic that Congress is going to muster enough votes to overturn this.
Well, here's the question, Phil. Okay, so you've had all the success in saving money and increasing the quality of the service. What would you hope to accomplish by going the other direction? I mean, they must have some goal that's stated. They must have something that this is what we're going to do, and this is why we must do this. What is it?
You know, it's interesting, because what they say is, they say, we're going to put ourselves in charge. We're going to be have the power to regulate prices and business arrangements and every aspect of the network. But we're not going to use it. Don't worry. We'll just, you know, sort of keep it in our back pocket. And if they're not going to use it, it makes no sense. So they are going to use it at some point, in my judgment. Or what may be even worse, they're going to use the threat of economic regulation to get voluntary action on things like blocking, you know, climate disinformation or election denial or COVID denial or what have you. So I think they really want an economic hook for control over these companies so that they can informally use them to suppress content from their opponents and so forth. Of course, I do get called a conspiracy theorist for that, but they basically did it with the social media companies. So I think the idea that they would do it with the ISPs is not that far-fetched to me.
So financial thumbscrews. Put the screws to them. You either do what we say and get rid of this misinformation, disinformation, of course, malinformation, which is a word they made up, which is not wrong at all. It's just something they don't like. You either get rid of this stuff or we're going to mess with your bottom line. That's it, isn't it?
I think so. I mean, I'm concerned that that's it. It can't be that they think we need this to prevent some problem because we just had 7 years without it, without any problem. So they can't be sincere about the reasons they give. There must be something else going on. And I do wonder, Steve, if Trump wins and he repeals this again, are they going to make the same insane claims about deregulating being the end of the world, or are they going to have a little bit of shame?
Oh, no, they'll lie again. Come on, Phil. Yeah. They have no capacity to tell the truth. Of course they're going to lie again. Rhetorical question. Hey, Phil, greatly appreciate you for exposing it for what it is. We'll see what happens. And how much damage can they do in 6 or 8 months? Probably not a terrible amount. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But if we can get this corrected by January of 25... we're probably okay, but the question is, can you get it back on the road by January of 25? That's the real question. I'll give you the last word real quick.
Yeah, you know, I think this is interesting also, not just because of how bad this regulation is, but I think that it shows you a pattern that's probably happening across every single government agency, which is they're going to seize control of as many things as they can, regardless of what the facts are, because that's their mentality. That's what they believe in. And to your point, maybe we could survive that through the end of this year, but 4 more years like that would be pretty rough. And so it does sort of raise the stakes for the election, because the regulatory side is probably even worse than the tax side in terms of what it's doing to the economy.
You got that right. Phil Kirpin, president of the American Commitment. Phil, thank you. Have a great Friday. Go Mets.
All right, you too.
Yeah, there you go. Got it in for you. We'll be back.